The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs, giving them authority over all the unclean spirits, and instructed them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no haversack, no coppers for their purses. They were to wear sandals, but he added, do not take a spare tunic. He said to them, if you enter a house anywhere, stay there until you leave the district. And if any place does not welcome you and people refuse to listen to you, as you walk away, shake off the dust from under your feet as a sign to them. So they set off to preach repentance, and they cast out many devils and anointed many sick people with oil and cured. The Gospel of the Lord. Where that Alleluian verse was very exciting introduction to the Gospel. And now I say, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. That's one of the new dismissal translations that came in with our new translation a few years ago. But in a way, that's what the apostles and Amos were called to do. And it's Amos we meet in our first reading. He's one of the great, but perhaps not so very well-known, characters of the Old Testament. As you know, he was a farmer, but he was called to prophecy. And he came from a small village just about 5 miles south of Bethlehem, which was then in the country of Judah with its own king. And God wrenched him away from that work on the land, impelling him to be a prophet. A simple man, but he was no simpleton with straw coming from his ears. Actually, he was a great critic, critical observer of the social and religious scene that he was sent to. He was the first prophet that wrote down his prophecy. He lived about 8 centuries before, in the 8th century, say 700 years, say, before Christ. So it's before the exile, and life was good then. It went wrong, but life was good. And he was sent to this northern kingdom, Israel, which had reached its summit of its material power and prosperity. The land was full of plenty. The cities were elegantly built, palaces strongly defended, and the rich in their summer and winter villas adorned their homes with costly ivory. But at the same time, there was widespread corruption and immorality. The poor were afflicted and exploited, even sold into slavery. There was an absence of justice and pity in the land, and the judge was corrupt, and innocents were betrayed. Well, that could be a reading of the 8th century BC, but it's not totally that different from Western society in the 21st century AD. In the midst of all that luxury and misery, in Amos's day, religion flourished. And Amos is called to disturb the peace, to calling them to repent, to change, to look at what they're really doing, because corruption was as rife in religion as it was in anything else. That true, too, in our own times. But, of course, in our own times, it can be a very secular state in which we live in. While I was away, I was reading Jonathan Sacks's, he's the former chief rabbi, Lord Jonathan Sacks. He's a great, respected person. And it's about not in God's name. And he's trying to look at the whole world scene, and actually the Western world, and we may be going away from religion, but the rest of the world isn't. He said when we predict forward to 2050, even beyond that, there will be many, many more religious people than today, which we find difficult in our own days of people falling away. But what he's trying to look at is, why is it that it's a war of religion that's going on at the moment? And of course, the Western world can't understand it, because, it, do you remember, Mr. Blair, we don't do God. Well, they're all a bit the same. We don't look at religion. That's what it is. And he's trying to grasp that. I did put some little leaflet about his book there. It's a thickish book, but I'm halfway through. But I only pick it up because in Amos's day, their religion was flourishing, but he's questioning, what sort of religion is it? They're just longing for the Sabbath to be over. Look at our own times. Shops are going to be even longer on Sundays, so it becomes 7, 7 and 9:11 and, you know, and not 9. 365, 24-7, 24-7. You know, I was no good at maths and all that. You know what I'm saying. It gets longer and longer. And you see, they were observing the religions, but at the same time, just longing it to be over. Just like, how long is this mass going on? Can't wait to get outside. You know what I'm saying. Amos is dismissed. Get back home, says Amaziah. We don't want you telling all these people that, disturbing the people. Go back to where you've come from. It can be the same when we're trying to spread our faith in our own day. Jesus chose his 12 and he sent them out. This first sending out was a bit like some of our young people who do job experience. That they go for a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, and have this experience of what life like. Well, that's what Jesus says, sending them out. I'll give you this bit of authority, and back they come. But he does say to them, if you're rejected, and that's why it's linked with today's reading, if you're rejected, don't worry about it. Shake the dust off. Come back to where you were. But all of it, when he sent them out, as Amos was sent out, it was to preach repentance, to look again, refresh, renew, how we need to change, and to bring healing, reconciliation, forgiveness in Christ. Well, every Christian is called to do exactly that. Most of us may not see it that way, but from our baptism onwards, strengthened in our confirmation, fed and nourished week by week, we're challenged then, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life, or go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Whatever it is, it's to bring others to understand something of what we're all about and what we believe. And in a way, who we are was picked up in that reading from Ephesians about what God has done for us. So that's why we had all of that long reading. It's all on your newsletter. Take it away. You can read it. I did say if it was a wet Sunday afternoon, you could even pick up your Bible, look at Amos. Because Amos, it's only a short little book in the Old Testament, very, very perceptive, very good. But it's all saying that we need to bring others to Christ. How we do it is what we can find difficult. And that's why on Thursday evening, we've got a road show from Father John. I think Father John Bolosky was with you last Sunday at 11. Father Anthony, any of you know the one with the ponytail, who's normally been here at 9 when I'm not here, he will be there and others will be with them to help us to look at how can we, in our own times, bring others. We're not like the Mormons, where my flat is, there's a Mormon church. There are lots of young men and young women going out in twos, sent off to challenge people, just like the witnesses who call on our doors in twos. It's not the way we've been used to doing it, but we've got to do something. So Thursday, I shall come back to help us with that. But like Amos, like the apostles, we're sent out to help make places where there's bitterness and sadness into places of joy and of love. We may wonder why God has chosen us, so did Amos, but like them and the apostles, we may be surprised too by what we can do in the power of the Holy Spirit.